It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, first day of the unofficial, official free agent, whatever the heck it is. The Bears signed some guys. They got better today. How about you? How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You know, it's a very busy day. I was talking to you a little bit pre-show that this is the day I should have took off work because, you know, I had a ton of pre-write stuff done just because I knew that I had to be prepared because I don't have time to kind of, you know, juggle all my stuff. But yeah, busy day. It would have been much easier and much more fun if I took off. I could have done a little bit more on the site. But, you know, Eric Christopher DeWacker stepped up and wrote a couple articles. You know, Jacob had a pre-write in there. Josh had a pre-write in there. So, I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on there, a lot of prepared behind-the-scenes stuff. So, yeah, we had everything covered in the site, and the site has been jumping the last, you know, few days, well over 100,000 paid views a day. The podcast channel has been jumping. The YouTube channel has been jumping. So we appreciate all you guys checking us out wherever you check out our content.
Yeah, absolutely. And we appreciate that. We're going to have a ton more coming at you in the podcast form and the video form and on the website as well. So appreciate you sticking with us. Excitement's there. I mean, I'm starting to feel it. I know you're starting to feel it, right? You're starting to get that excitement buzzing. Yes. Free agent. The Bears got better today. There's no way around it. It's good stuff. It's always fun when you get to welcome new Chicago Bears to the fold. And I think that there's some really fun stuff to talk about. So, you know, when you talk about the Chicago Bears, Lester, what position comes to mind first?
It's all about the linebackers.
Linebackers, yeah. Right? So that's where we're going to kick off because the Bears definitely addressed the linebacker position on day one of free agency. Maybe a little bit of surprise that they would double dip there. And I want to talk about what that means for the only other linebacker that's on the roster right now and a fan favorite, Jack Sanborn. But let's talk about the big ticket item first, even though that one broke a little later, and that's Tremaine Edmonds. So he is a 25-year-old or going to be 25 years old.
So young.
Young guy, came into the league super young. So he is already has 5 years in Buffalo under his belt. So that's kind of crazy. Two Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
Like, I think people forget this is a pretty high ceiling player. Missed a few games last year, but the thing that the book on him was he would look a little lost in coverage. But he's got length. He's a perfect guy in this Eberflus defense, but he figured out coverage last year. That's the story right now, is that he looked great in coverage, which was the piece of his game that was missing there. He could get exposed a little bit. He's cleaned that up. And when you have a guy that fits exactly what you want in a football player, in the defense, the new head coach, right? This looks like everything kind of lined up to say, go get him. That's the perfect fit.
Yeah, you talk about the length, 6'5", like 250. You know, he has the size, he has the speed. He still has the sideline to sideline speed. I know when he was coming out, I looked at him kind of like the same way as Brian Urlacher, you know, that really tall, long guy. I always thought, man, he'd be great in a cover two base scheme, a Tampa 2-esque scheme. You know, he's got the length, he can cover the zone. You know, but like you said, his pass coverage was a little down early in his career, but he came in the league at 20. You know, he's still 24 years old. He's a 5-year pro, and he doesn't turn 25 till next month. So there's a lot of good football left in front of him. Maybe his best football is left in front of him. I saw the Next Gen stats. I think it was earlier today. They tweeted out. They talked about his coverage. You know, his yards per target. That's a big stat. His was one of the top in the NFL for linebacker. So his coverage is there. He's great against the run. You know, he's got the size, the length. He's just a perfect fit. And, you know, I didn't think he was going to happen because of the price tag. You know, I figured, right, you know, since he let Roquan go, I thought, you know, they have a ceiling, you know. But when you look at his contract, maybe this is the deal they've had in mind for Roquan all along. And of course, Roquan wanted more. Roquan didn't have an agent. Roquan had some minor off the field issues that maybe they were a little concerned about. So with this guy, it's just, you know, perfect timing. He's a free agent, fits a need, lock it up.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about that right now? So Roquan Smith, you know, started off his career in, you know, good football player. I mean, no one's going to take that away from him. Good football
really
player.
Good, yeah.
But enough things happening off the field.
Small things.
Give you some concern, right? Where it's just enough where you're like, is this guy making smart decisions, yeah, right? Do you want to give this guy all of the money and trust that he's going to make smart decisions, right? So that is something to keep in mind going into negotiations with Ryan Poles, where he doesn't hire representation and then sort of uses the media to sort of lash out, even though it looked like Poles was maybe doing him a solid, keeping him like active, but you know, he didn't have to practice, right? And I think he kind of burned that bridge, and Poles was looking to move him, probably knew he wasn't going to resign him. He was able to then get some value out of that player by trading him to Baltimore, who is the perfect destination for Roquan, yeah, Smith. Like Roquan made out beautifully in that. Like, he didn't send him to Siberia. He got him to Baltimore, which is a perfect destination for the type of player that he is. He's going to be able to thrive in Baltimore more than he would anywhere else. So that's great for Roquan. But Poles gets back a second round pick. He is in a fifth round pick, right? He's able to not pay Roquan and keep that money reserved for, now as we see it, Tremaine Edmonds plus who comes a little cheaper, right? So you get player capital, you get a guy who's probably a better fit for that will linebacker position in Tremaine Edmonds than Roquan was. Again, Roquan, very good football player, but maybe not the perfect fit for what Coach Eberflus wants in that particular spot. And you're able to move on from the baggage. Like, there's just no real downside here. And I think it's a real win. And I think that Bears fans probably they haven't soaked up just how fun of a player Tremaine Edmonds is yet, but I'm sure they will once they start viewing some of these highlight films. He's going to be a fun one to watch.
Well, you mentioned the will, and you know, he's always been a Mike in Buffalo, but it's a little different scheme. You know, so when he was first happened, I was wondering what's going to happen. I actually talked to Greg Gabriel, our guy. He believes that it's going to be, like you said, Tremaine Edmonds at the will. The guy we'll talk about in a second, or TJ Edwards at the mic. And, you know, it's just a good complement of players. Their games complement each other. It's like you said, it's linebackers at Chicago. Is it what we thought would happen here on the first day of free agency? Two expensive linebackers? No, but it fits a need, and it helps set that defense up.
Well, let's talk about the other linebacker then. So TJ Edwards came into the league from Wisconsin as a UDFA, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Played for the Eagles. Now, so there's a familiarity there with Ian Cunningham, who was the assistant GM under Ryan Poles. I'm sure that had something to do with it here. Smart, instinctive player, guy that like they couldn't keep off the field. This is kind of the story with him, is that he just proved that he belonged on the field. Sound like another Wisconsin Badger linebacker that you've heard of recently, Bears fans? Yeah, it just so happens that I believe that Jack Sanborn replaced TJ Edwards at the Wisconsin lineup once he left school. So he's going to be reunited with an old friend there. To me, that means that Edwards is going to be slated to start at the mic, mm-hmm, and you're going to have Jack Sanborn probably back him up at the mic and then play the Sam linebacker. So Jack Sanborn at this point, he's going to be the Sam linebacker, the strong side linebacker is what that means. I guess I assume that everybody knows that. So the middle linebacker, M, Mike, the weak side linebacker is the Will, starts with a W, and then the Sam backer is the strong side backer. So that's where the tight end is, the formation is the strong side. So you'll see that. Anyway, I assume everybody has heard those terms, but maybe no one's ever defined them for you.
It's good to drop some football 101 out there once.
A little football 101 every once in a while doesn't hurt anything. Yeah. So I think the Bears have their linebacking core for the next few years. I mean, because I think they're definitely happy with Sanborn, and he gets it to be settle into a really good position for his skill set, which is the Sam.
Well, like you said, when he was a UDFA coming out, you know, he was everyone's pick. Yeah, this is the one guy that'll make the roster as a UDFA, you know, and most people thought, you know, he'll fit at the Sam. They weren't quite sure he had the athleticism or the speed to play the Mike or the Will in this scheme, you know, but kind of like TJ Edwards, you know, he doesn't have the testing numbers, you know, but when you look at what he does on film, he has good instincts. He's a smart football player. You know, that's Wisconsin. I mean, their linebackers, they always come to league with that. You know, they understand football and they come in that way. And it's just a great deal for the Bears. He was their first signing. Again, unexpected. He may have came in a little lower than some people thought, but you know, maybe he just wanted to come home. I mean, he's from the Chicagoland area, Lake County, Illinois, Lindenhurst. So maybe he just wanted to come closer to home. And for the Bears, it's great because now they got, like you said, their linebacking core is set. Sanborn is in a perfect spot as a former UDFA. He'll play the Sam, which is, you know, 30-ish% of the time on the field. But again, he has the skills and he can back up at the mic. He could play the Will in a pinch. So it's you have three good linebackers, obviously two at, you know, more of a Pro Bowl level. But, you know, who knows the ceiling for Sanborn?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's still a starting position. Again, this is not a Sanborn podcast. I already called him Sanborn podcast, but it's not necessarily, I wouldn't take it as a demotion. He's still going to be on the field a lot. He's still probably going to be a core special teamer. Like, you know, he's going to be a part of the plans for this team. I certainly think that, but you have a more proven player in TJ Edwards and good football player. And like you said, local product, former quarterback in high school, right? So he's got the brain, right, to kind of see everything, and that in the middle linebacker position, that's really important. His deal, 3 years, $19.5 million, $4.5 million signing bonus. It's a bit widely considered a very nice deal for TJ Edwards. Just going back to the Edmonds contract, Edmonds makes a little bit more money.
Yeah.
So Edmonds signed, it's a 4-year deal worth $72 million with $50 million of that guaranteed. So it's a big number. Our friend Brad Spielberger mentioned about how it's a big number, but it's not a 5-year contract, which a lot of linebackers were getting 5-year contracts. And so Poles, I think, was able to make sure that he kept this contract on his timeline, which I think is important to note that it's not a 5-year deal. It's a 4-year deal. So he has an idea of what he's trying to sign here for this player and for this particular competitive window arc.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good deal all around. The money, you look at it, you're like, that's a lot of money. But again, we're talking about two players at two premier positions in this scheme making a tiny bit more than Roquan is making in Baltimore. So the math adds up in the Bears' favor in this case. And like you said, it's a lot of money, but we're talking about a player that's not quite 25 years old yet. So I'm excited. I mean, this is a great deal for the Bears. I think they're looking good here. You know, Coach Flus, you know, he wants those linebackers. Now, what's happening at the D-line? Because you got to have the front four here, because right now it's pretty much Justin Jones and, you know, the Pips back there, and Justin Jones is nowhere near, you know, the star quality. He's another rotation. It's more like the Pip and then the non-Pips, because Justin Jones should be the Pip. And I just dated myself because people are like,
oh my,
the Pips. Yeah.
I mean, we'll get into a little bit of like, what does this mean for the defensive line in the second part of the show and the offensive line. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but let's talk about interior offensive line. Let's talk about the third signing for today, Nate Davis. Good football player, solid guard for the Titans. Certainly knows how to run block.
Yeah.
Right. You play for the Titans. You got to know how to run block. Good player, good football player. So the Bears were able to add a piece there. I want to ask you this. He has played every snap of his 4 years in the National Football League at right guard. Tevin Jenkins played most of the year at right guard for the Bears. Cody Whitehair, the left guard for the Bears, in and out of the lineup with some injury issues, has a history at center. You've got Lucas Patrick, who took like 8 snaps at center last year, got hurt multiple times because of the Sam Mustipher voodoo doll. So what is the plan for Nate Davis? Do you see him as a right guard, like where he has naturally been for the duration of his career? Do you see him as a left guard to make that swap and maybe kick Whitehair either off or in? Or what do you see? Like, I guess those are the options. He signed him to start. So which are you doing? You put him in his natural position, or are you flipping him over?
The way the roster's set now, your three best interior guys are Jenkins, Davis, and Whitehair. Whitehair makes a lot of money. We've talked about it on the show before. You know, cutting him or trading him, you know, post June 1, you're going to save a little bit, but it's not a huge savings where you're like, oh my God, we got to get him off the roster. He's just a hole. You know, and we talked about that. You don't want to create a hole unless you have to. So I can see Whitehair sticking around. I mean, maybe he's cut in the offseason. Maybe a center shakes loose or another guard shakes loose and they do get rid of him. You know, but right now, the way it's constructed, maybe he does go back to center. And then as far as Tevin Jenkins on the right side, man, he just settled in. You really want to mess with him if you think he's a building block for your future. Maybe not. You know, this is the discussion I'm sure the Bears had with Nate Davis before they signed him. So wherever he's going to play, he knows. I mean, he knows what he's doing. You know, I'm sure they had to talk to Jenkins too if they're going to make a switch there. But I don't know. Maybe Davis is the guy that goes to left guard. Maybe Cody goes to center. Maybe Jenkins sticks where he's at. I don't see any scenario where Jenkins goes out to tackle. I mean, this regime made it pretty clear that's not happening. Which,
well, that would be an awkward conversation, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Tevi, what's up, man? Just drama. Just think, yeah. Just spitballing here, but like, would you want to go back out to tackle after we pretty much almost cut you or traded you because you wouldn't go to guard? Anyway, that's not going to happen. I think he's going to stay at guard. I think you're right. I think that does mean that Cody Whitehair is probably going to be penciled in right now as your center. I think that does not take a center prospect off in the draft.
Oh, no, yeah.
There are several that are interesting in the draft.
Yep.
Three names that are popping up regularly, all Big Ten centers, which in my opinion, good bet. Yeah, take a Big Ten center. You're going to be okay. And so you got three picks in that late second, early third rounds, perfect center territory. You know, I think that you can pretty much pencil one of those picks in for center at this point right now. That's fine. Whitehair to me, I've always been critical of him as a center in the past because he looks like a guard playing center. But he can do it, and he's a veteran. He's smart. He can make line calls. We know all of that. We know that he can be successful in that role and certainly can extend his Bears career by making that sacrifice or move back to the center position. And you've seen that in the past. You know, I'm thinking about Roberto Garza taking that guard for a long time for the Bears and then kicked in after Olin left. He didn't quite retire right away, right? But he left Chicago and Garza took over the center position for a couple of years. So, you know, I can see that kind of being the old veteran guy who he can provide that leadership. He can kind of kick in. I don't know that that's going to keep him healthier or not, but hopefully he can remain healthy. Hopefully Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins coming back stronger from his injury issues, maybe two solid guards can help Cody Whitehair at the center position. That's interesting. I certainly hadn't thought about Whitehair moving back to center until they signed Nate Davis. So that's an interesting proposition. Why don't we take a quick break and then let's talk about what's left and what didn't happen. Stick with us. All right, Lester, we're back. So let's talk about what didn't happen today.
Yeah.
And what didn't happen was that right tackle Mike McGlinchey, who was the guy that everybody had signed up for the Bears. Like, he was already moving his belongings to Chicago. Like, this thing was wrapped up. This was the one sure bet that everybody had on their bingo card. Denver comes in last minute and they come over the top and Ryan Pohl says, no, thank you. What did you think of when you saw the Broncos agree to sign Mike McGlinchey?
You know, I had a feeling that McGlinchey would not fit in Chicago because of the money and because of the, you know, he's coming from the Niners, going from a winning organization, you know, so you're going to have to pay over the top to get him to come here. You know, Denver, while they've had a down year last year, you know, they've had a little more, a better track record in the past. So, I mean, like you said, huge money to go to Denver. I was a little surprised that, you know, that's where he ended up, but I had a feeling he wouldn't end up in Chicago somehow, some way. I just had a feeling that wasn't going to happen. I thought they would kind of pivot and go somewhere else, and we still haven't seen them do anything at right tackle. So as far as McGlinchey goes, you talked about it on the pre-show a little bit. He's an average football player. I mean, he is a good run blocker. That's what he's in the league for. He's known for that. As a pass protector, not the best. I mean, I'm not saying he's bad by any means. He's just, you know, he has his moments in pass pro where he gets his feet a little tangled up, gets a little off balance on occasion, you know. But as a run blocker, road grader, he would have been an upgrade in Chicago, 100% sure, because last year was Riley Reiff, Larry Borum, not getting the job done. Would have been an upgrade. You know, all these guys that are off the market would have been an upgrade. So who knows? I mean, you talk about who else is off the market. Also, Juwan Taylor going to the Kansas City Chiefs to play left tackle, a career right tackle going to the left side. They made that decision already. Kind of strange to me that you would do that with a guy, especially when you have a Pro Bowl left tackle there in KC already who you could have brought back. But, you know, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs know what they're doing. Plus, if you're a Juwan Taylor and it's like, hey, we got an offer here and we got an offer here. Oh, I can go to play with the Chiefs, the Super Bowl champs with Pat Mahomes. Yeah, I'm going to go over there. So at the end of the day, some of these guys, it's not just about the money. It's about good fit for them, good fit for their family, good fit for their career. And Juwan Taylor wants to go win a ring.
Well, let's talk about Taylor first. So Taylor comes from Jacksonville. He has one good year. And that's the year that Doug Peterson arrives, right? Yep. I mean, before this, he was pretty well, a lot of mud thrown at him. They even drafted his replacement because it wasn't working out in Jacksonville, right? And that's why Jacksonville let him go. He has one good year. I'm not saying that he can't duplicate that, but he goes to the same system, right? Doug Peterson comes from the Andy Reid tree, right? Like, so all that stuff kind of fits, right? Playing left tackle, though? Okay. Like, good luck. I mean, it probably will work out because it's Kansas City and Pat Mahomes will figure it out, right? So good for them. That's fine. I didn't necessarily see that as a huge fit the whole time. I'm not surprised that Chicago wasn't in on Juwan Taylor. But if they were trying, that's a pretty obvious career choice for Juwan Taylor to make, is, hey, you're going to give me the premier spot on the premier team. Yeah. I mean, that has to feel pretty good.
Plus some premier money there too.
Yeah, it? Well, the money doesn't hurt, right? Yeah. Let's talk about money with Mike McGlinchey. Because, again, the Bears, I think, were in on him pretty hard. McGlinchey signs for 5 years, $87.5 million in Denver. Would you have felt good about that contract if it was Ryan Poles writing that check?
I would have, because that's what I expected going in. I just expected him to overpay for a right tackle. You know, I think it was Conklin a few months ago. He signed a big money deal. You know, it kind of set the right tackle market at that point. Next guy getting paid always goes over the top. So I expected it to happen. Plus, you know, going from convincing a guy to come to a three-win team, whether the arrow's pointing up or not, you still got to convince him to come. So it's going to take a little extra money. So if that would have been the deal, I would have been fine with it because that's what I expected. But I wrote about the other day, he wasn't my top choice at right tackle for the Bears. So I'm okay that he went elsewhere. I'm a little surprised they still have a hole there. So we'll kind of see how that shapes up here in the next few days. Maybe they kind of, I'm not going to say punt on the position, but maybe they kind of go a little cheap and then go in the draft. I mean, there's a lot of things to do here. Greg Gabriel tweeted out earlier today that, you know, the draft and the free agency go hand in hand. You know, if you can't get the guys you really want, it's not ideal to go to the draft with needs, so I'm sure they'll get someone. But worst case scenario, it's a pretty strong right tackle draft. It's a pretty strong center draft, so there's some options here.
Yeah, I think as of right now, you have to think that pick number 9 is certainly being talked about in terms of trying to fill that right tackle position. There is another right tackle that a lot of people were talking about that's, I believe, still unsigned. So that's the Caleb McGarry, who's from the Falcons.
Yeah.
So that's still a possibility. We'll keep our eyes on that. I know that there are some people that didn't necessarily think that he was all that good of a fit. Here's another player that had his best year this year. So you're kind of betting on one good year of tape, and before that was maybe not as high. Didn't have the pedigree of a Juwan Taylor, who struggled in his early career and had one year. So you are kind of at that like next level already, where McGlinchey has pedigree and then has sort of like mid-level tape. Like he's kind of established himself like he's an average starter, right? Like and again, average would be a huge upgrade from what the Bears were playing. Like, please do not get me wrong. I would have been fine with it. It is a lot of money for Mike McGlinchey, though. And so in some ways, I'm fine with them missing out on that. That's okay. You do have four premium picks coming up in this draft. I think that as of right now, you have to think that they're going to use one on that. What about the defensive line? You mentioned a little bit here. I think that the three technique being talked about is such an important piece here. We've talked about how the defensive ends on this roster need huge upgrades. The current players at defensive end should be your number three and your number four, in our honest opinion. And so far we have not seen any defensive linemen sign with Chicago. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, it does. I thought they'd be pretty high on a few guys that went. We saw Javon Hargraves go, huge money. You know, that's kind of what I expect them to get. You know, I mean, the market's pretty high at that position. You know, interior defensive line has become one of the premier spots on your football team, and especially in the Bears scheme. You know, that three tackle or the three tech defensive tackle, you know, it's the engine that runs that defense. That's how they talk about it all the time. You got to find that guy. So the fact that, you know, Hargraves is gone. You know, Draymond Jones still out there, but you know, he's asking for a ton of money with the market is set. And I wrote about it the other day. I thought they'd be going after Draymond Jones, but I would not have been too excited with that signing, because here's a guy coming from a 30-man front in Denver. You know, he's never been a full-time three-tech defensive tackle. Does he have the traits to play it? Yeah. Does he have the size? Sure. You know, his skill set says he could do it, but as a professional, he never has been that full-time. So I'm not excited paying a guy top of the market price as a projection. That's just not something I'm excited to see happen. Plus, he's come off an injury. I think he missed his last few games last season. So, you know, maybe there's some medicals that have to be in play here. You know, maybe we will see him come back around and sign him later, because he's still, you know, as of this recording, unsigned. But they got to get someone. You know, you got to find someone there. You know, maybe they pivot and go more towards their one tech, which is the Shade, who plays next to the three tech. And, you know, maybe that's where they go there. Again, maybe they get some guys you're not expecting, kind of like fill the roster. Again, we're talking bare minimum. They're still going to upgrade what they had. You know, the guys they had last year were not very good. We're talking replacing Mike Pennell. You know, he's fine. I mean, he's not, you know, he shouldn't be starting for your team. And, you know, Angelo Blackson was fine, you know, but, you know, you could upgrade him pretty easily. You know, you got to find some upgrades. Al-Qaeda Muhammad, he's already been cut. You know, it's not hard to upgrade him. So you're going to have to find someone here. But then again, we talk about the draft. The draft's pretty strong. You know, there's some pretty good, you know, edge players, some good defensive tackles that kind of fit the scheme. And who knows, maybe they kind of look that way as well.
Yeah, I guess there hasn't been a lot of players that have signed contracts yet, especially at the defensive end position. I haven't seen a lot fly off the board yet. So you still could see some movement there. They almost certainly have to bring in at least one free agent defensive end and likely one interior. I will be shocked if they don't bring in guys that are projected to start, right? Not just guys that you're signing to like fill the roster up, but like guys that you're saying, you're a starter. Like you're going to take starting reps. You're certainly penciled in that way. And so I think there's still plenty of work to be done here. There's still plenty of money that the Bears have to spend here. You know, and again, the players that signed quickly, Javon Hargrave went to the Niners.
Niners, yeah.
And wow, no one's going to want to play that defensive line. And it was a lot of money. It was a very big spend. And if you look at what Brian Poles has done so far in this offseason, he has signed players in their early mid 20s, mm-hmm. right? And traded for DJ Moore. You know, again, younger guys who you are going to have the meat of their prime, right? Like, and that's what you like free agency for a team like the Bears should be. And so that's great. I like Javon Hargrave. He is a good football player. I like watching him play football. But is he on the same timeline as the Chicago Bears? No. Like he's ring shopping, right? Like he's going to San Francisco to try to burnish his legacy and get a ring. He's 30 years old, right? How many more years does he have? He's probably got a few, right? Those guys can play for a few more years, but they also can break down a little bit, right? We saw that with Akeem Hicks, you know, one of my all-time favorite players to watch, but he hit that 30-year-old mark and had a couple of injuries. Yeah, they were kind of fluky, but he could just kind of see it go down from there. It is what it is. Mid-20s guys, they're basically where they're at peak athletically, and they understand the game. They're used to it, the speed. You know, they're smart football players. They've established themselves. There's that meat right there, that perfect window. That's where you want to see your money spent when you're on a timeline like the Bears are right now. If you were trying to, again, you were in the category of trying to chase a ring, that's when you go after a guy like Javon Hargrave. Oh, he's the piece that we need to kind of put us over the top. Makes perfect sense for the Niners to sign him. I saw it. I didn't expect it, but I saw it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's such a fun signing for them, because that's just going to be nasty. Put him right next to Bosa. Like, it's ridiculous, right? So that's great. Like that makes total sense. Like a lot of times you kind of step back. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. It wouldn't have made that much sense to me had the Bears gone after Hargrave and spent that kind of money. And they would have had to come over the top, I think, quite a bit. I think they would have had to come over the top 10% or more to be able to convince him to come play for the Bears, as opposed to the Niners, where he can really wreck stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's some more options out there. It's just a matter of, again, you talk about the window. You know, if you're looking at, you know, there are going to be a few vets that come in a little older that Ryan Poles looks at and say, hey, this is a good locker room guy, good locker room presence. Maybe someone that's already won a ring. Maybe a guy like Fletcher Cox, you know, the other defensive tackle with Philly. You know, he has a ring already from his time, you know, a couple of years back when they did it with Nick Foles. So maybe he's looking for another nice little a contract to close out his career, where you can kind of come in, kind of mentor some guys. Cause you know, you need to address the locker room also. And it can't all be young guys. You want to have a couple guys that come in and kind of come in that mentorship role. So, you know, a guy like Frank Clark, another edge, you know, I think he's 29, 30 years old from the Chiefs. You know, maybe he comes in, you know, so there'll be a couple signings like that where you're like, okay, that's a neat signing, you know, nothing where you're expecting like top level play, but you still got to fill your roster. And we're still replacing guys, like we said, like, you know, Al-Qaeda Muhammad. And, you know, I like Dominique Robinson's upside, but he shouldn't be starting at this point. Travis Gibson, maybe he just is who he is now. He's just a rotational piece, and that's fine. You know, you need bodies, because right now I think you got to replace all four starters, and you're not going to get four huge money signings. So get what you can get and then pivot to the draft.
I want to talk about running back for a minute. What are you thinking about David Montgomery right now? I'm not feeling a lot of love coming from the Bears or David Montgomery's camp that there's going to be something happen. I think you would have heard something, just at least a little bit at some point, that, yeah, you know, we're working on this or whatever. It just kind of feels like this might be over.
I think it was Kevin Fowler. Is that his name from ESPN or NFL Network? I forget who it was. One of those insiders a couple of days ago had a report, said the Bears would like him back, but he'll probably test the market, which is probably the best thing to do. If you're the Bears, I mean, there was some talk they were in on Saquon that, of course, didn't happen. You know, Miles Sanders is out there, kind of maybe fit the scheme. You know, the Bears want more explosiveness, but you can't have an explosive running back unless that running back knows how to pass pro, how to play in the passing game. You know, that's what you need. Monty gives you that, but he doesn't have the explosiveness. I would like Monty back. I just think he's a good football player, but the price has to be right. I think he's going to test the market. He'll see what's out there. And if no one comes to meet his demands, I think he comes back to the Bears and says, okay, what's the best offer? Let's play some football here. Because I think he likes Chicago. I think he understands, you know, the market, but you still got to let a player. I mean, you're only a free agency the first time once. I mean, this is his chance to go out there and see what he can get. I think you'd be disappointed, because just, you know, people don't value running backs like they used to, unless you're, you know, top of the line, you know, like Le'Veon Bell, you know, Ezekiel Elliott when he got his money. Unless you're those guys at that level at that time, you're not going to get huge money. And I think that's where Monty is. We'll see what happens. I would like him back. I have my doubts.
Yeah, he's a good, solid running back. He's definitely a positive presence in the locker room, like all those things. Great teammate. I think that those things are in his favor. You could see him extending his Chicago career because of those things, but it does not sound like there's going to be a signing that's going to happen early in free agency. It's going to take some time. That is the reality of the linebacker, or sorry, the running back position. Linebackers, I mean, you kind of thought that, but those got scooped up. So yeah. it's somewhat interesting that level usually mirrors each other. But so recently, running backs are just so not in demand, and they don't get paid nearly as much as they used to relative to the cap. So it's just interesting to see how much the game has changed. What also doesn't help Montgomery is that this draft class is particularly interesting and deep with running backs. I'll say that a lot maybe, but this year I'm hearing more and more about, man, there's a lot of fun running backs in this draft. And so I think that's going to keep happening to these running backs, and that's that supply and demand issue really works against David Montgomery. So I don't, if I had to put my money on it right now, I don't think he's going to be back.
Well, this is the thing. I've said this numerous times. You cannot go into the season with Khalil Herbert as your number one.
I agree.
Because he's not the best in blitz pickup. He's not the best in pass pro. He's not the best receiver out of the backfield. He cannot be your RB1 heading into the season. Monty fits that role better. He's just not as explosive as Herbert. Herbert is explosive. I mean, he has the speed, you know, very decisive as a runner where he just sees hole, hits hole, go. I mean, that's what you want in this scheme here. Monty dances a little bit too much on occasion, you know, but, you know, that's sometimes what he's had to do throughout his career with the Bears because the line has not been the best. Herbert has taken advantage of some situations where he's able to get more yards. He can't be your number one, though. Unless, of course, this offseason he comes in and says, hey, guys, you know, and he shows that the team in training camp that he did some stuff, and you know, he's much better in blitz pickup. But throughout his first couple of years, that has not been his game. So you got to figure something out, whether it's Monty back or not. You got to find a veteran that you can come in and trust, that you can trust that will be able to play in the passing game.
Yeah, he's downright Khalil Herbert is downright bad in pass pro. Like it is not something that you want to trust Khalil Herbert to do. Yeah, it's interesting. It's something to keep an eye on. It's something that we will get answers to, I think, in the next week or so. But it's not crazy to think that stuff drags out, right? You never know. These things could kind of carry on for a while as we reset after the waves of free agency happens. So I'd like to get just kind of your final thoughts before we take off here on free agency, what you expect, what you'd like to see, how Ryan Poles has played first day with all the money.
You know, I think he's playing it great. I think this whole, you know, the trade, we haven't talked about the trade, you know, but DJ Moore much. We haven't talked about.
Oh, yeah, we haven't. Let's talk about that. We should.
I thought it was an outstanding move, you know, getting back what they got back, you know, him valuing DJ Moore, you know, over getting an additional first round draft pick. And, you know, it's like, you got to have a balance, you know, like we saw the Rams had that, you know, they wanted established veterans over these draft picks. So they basically built a championship roster off that philosophy. I think they went a little overboard. Now they're kind of stuck where they're kind of screwed. But I think if you're as a building franchise, you can get a guy like DJ Moore, who still has 3 years left on his contract, very reasonable contract. I think it's cap hits 20 this year. Then it drops down to, I think, 16.5 for 2 years. And you're talking about a wide receiver, one, 3 more years of control. Again, younger, 25 years old. I'll take that over a first-round pick gamble any day of the week. That was a great pick, a great decision by Poles to have him thrown into the deal there. Going back to 9, you're not going back too far. You're going to get a top prospect that spot. So I love everything Ryan Poles has done so far this offseason. Last offseason, we were critical of some of the moves he made, some of the non-moves he made. But this offseason, so far, so good.
Well, you say that he picked DJ Moore over the first-round draft pick, but let's like even zoom in a little bit there. Still a second-round draft pick in that 2025 draft. So I don't know if that was also on the table or if it was just downgraded. And then that's the 2025 draft. Like that's 2 years from now, right? So you get to have DJ Moore now when you need him and not a future roll of the dice. We don't know where we're going to pick and what that looks like in 2 years. Yep. So you get that now. You get a proven player now. Plus you turned pick 1-1 into four other draft picks, which is great, right? Like, I think that that's just, it's a fantastic return. I'm not saying they fleeced them or anything like that. No. You know, Carolina did what they needed to do. They paid what they paid. It is what it is for quarterback. It is what it is to control the board, right? To come all the way up to one, they get their pick of whoever they want now at this point. Like that, you have to pay a premium to be able to do that. But there was a point in the season where the Bears looked like they probably were going to draft ninth anyway, right? And then they just sort of went on a crazy losing streak. Some of the games were pretty close. Some of them, you know, were blowouts. But there was a time when I think we were all kind of expecting the Bears to be picking around the ninth pick anyway. They were going to steal a couple more wins down the stretch. And they didn't. They just lost everything. And then they got a little lucky with the days, a lot lucky with that Texans closing, right? And so this is a bit of a gift. And then I will say this, you know, I was on right after this happened with Robert, but I will say this, these picks might not be the end of it, right? These picks can keep multiplying and growing, right? The Bears might trade down from nine if they want to pick up another draft pick and there's a motivated team to come up to take someone who's sort of the last of a run or whatever, right? Like teams get motivated to move in the first round to take their guy because they get fixated. So Poles could move back. That pick could grow, right? You could see next year's one. Where does Carolina land? Like where, how do they finish? Are they going to be a good football team? Their offense doesn't look very good. They've got a good defense, but their offense doesn't look very good. They've got a new coaching staff. Maybe they're not a very good football team. Maybe they finish where the Bears get a top 10 pick, a top 5 pick. Maybe disaster strikes in Carolina and you get a top 2 pick and all of a sudden you get one of those premium picks for those quarterbacks that everybody wants in next year's draft. Well, that gives you obviously the Justin Fields insurance, which I'm not interested in, or you trade out of that and you get even more pick. Like it could be something that just kind of keeps on giving. You've now given yourself flexibility into the future and an immediate return to DJ Moore. Beautiful trade. I love it. The more that I've thought about that trade and what it means for the Bears, the more I love it.
Yeah, it's a good deal. I mean, you mentioned the Panthers are in a situation where they have a first-year head coach. There's no pressure to win there. You know, they can kind of take their time and, you know, they're going to draft a quarterback. You know, they can sign a vet quarterback and kind of play him and bring the rookie along slowly. You know, there is no pressure in Carolina for Frank Reich to kind of win now. You know, he understands that. They know that as a franchise. So it's going to help the Bears if they lose. I mean, I'm sure, you know, they're doing Chicago no favors by making the Bears, you know, number one draft pick that much higher. But ultimately, it's about what's best for their franchise. So force feeding a rookie, no matter who it is, at a quarterback with a really bad roster, it's not a good idea. We kind of saw that with the Bears firsthand a few times here. So maybe they sign a vet, kind of take their time, you know, bide things over until they have a chance to put the rook in here, whether it's Young or Stroud, whoever they end up drafting. So great deal all around for Ryan Poles. And of course, free agency starts off, and again, it's not what we expected, but you know, some really nice moves there, some nice signings. And hey, it's early. It's, you know, we're like, you know, 8 hours into the early negotiating window.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty more moves to happen here. And there are plenty of good football players that are still unsigned that would make the Bears a better football team. That's a good takeaway to probably end on here. So why don't we close out? We'll get to some Q&A with our YouTube folks here. But anything for the listener before we take off?
Just got so much stuff going on. I know Robert has some film breakdown stuff for DJ Moore coming up. I'm going to bug him and tell him to get some Nate Davis film breakdown because, you know, it's an offensive lineman. I know Robert wants to dig into that film, you know, so I know he already has some stuff that he put on his Twitter account. So make sure you guys follow Robert Schmitz on Twitter with TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds. So, you know, a ton of stuff. Talk about the podcast, you know, free agency just starting, you know, we got a ton of stuff going on at the site, got it all covered here, podcast channel and at Second City Gridiron, our YouTube channel. So stay tuned.
Yeah. And just the plug for Taylor Dahl's Making Monsters, she's got some fun plans coming up, so make sure you're checking that show out. If you haven't checked it out yet, make sure you spend some time to do that. We will end the podcast here, and until next time, bear down.